All right, so we are starting a new series called Marketplace Monster. The reason why we start this series is because we spend about a third of our time in the marketplace, right? I mean, out of the church and family, of course, not only just working, but in a community, or even if you are working at home, you are reaching out to your neighbors and so on. So those are our marketplace, you know. What do we do when we leave our leave this congregation over here? This is a community of God, but when you go out there, it's out in the world, right? The Bible tells us that we should be, right? We should be not of the world, but in the world, right? So we are salt and light. So, and in the world, there are many things that comes and attack us. And these are the three monsters that, if we're not careful, it might come and crouch in our hearts and so on. So one of the monsters could be, you know, comparison, right? Very deadly. And for each of these monsters, we will find out what it will do to us and what the Bible tells us how we should counter this, right? So there's one monster we're talking today. We talk about the comparison, changeling. Changeling is a kind of monster that comes and steals children, right? I mean, all these are just stories. And we have the greed goblin, right? So, oh, will I have enough? Should I earn more money? And so on. And finally, we have the fear, right? With all the changes, people talk about the VUCA world and all the disruption and so on. So what is it? I mean, how should I prepare myself to counter these kind of monsters? Anyway, the anchor verse for this series, this three-part series, is in Colossians 3:23. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart. At home, you're a student, you're working for the church, you're working in a company, you run your own business, right? All of this, whatever we do, do it with all of our heart, because that is where the source of all our problems are at times, the desire of our hearts and so on. And what should we do? The intention of our heart is so that we work for the Lord. And then we come to realize that the monsters of fear and comparison and greed will be held at bay. So Colossians 3:23, and then to build it up, it says that above all, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from your heart. Right? And it's so true that what we want to do, looking at our role in a marketplace, we want to do it to serve God. Why don't we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence here, for your people here, and for your love for us. Lord, we are so thankful that whatever we need in our lives, our decisions, our choices, the things that we focus on, and the challenges that we face, Lord, we can find your guidance and your answers in your word. Lord, I pray this morning as we look into the challenges, as we work in the marketplace, Lord, open our hearts, open our minds to your word. Bless and anoint these lips of clay so that your word may become truth, right, to each and everyone listening here. Lord, we commit the word and commit the service into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to look at the monster of comparison. Oh my goodness, all of us, we compare. It is a part of our lives. Of course, we have to compare, right? Why do we compare? Because we want to find out what is good, what is not so good, right? When you buy your phone and say, how come this phone not as nice as yours, right? We do that comparison. And I think it's important for us in life to compare, because when we compare, we have to make a judgment and say where we are at, right? So we need to know, who are you? Where are you at? What should you be doing, right? If you are running a business, are you on the right kind of business and so on? So actually, in essence, comparison is not bad in itself, because if we don't compare, we won't know where we are. We cannot evaluate ourselves. We can't see whether we're on the right track, right? So take note, the purpose of comparison is for us to move, for us to take action, for us to grow. Unfortunately, most of us compare, wow, that guy got six-pack, right? Or that clothes. You know, it starts from very beginning, even from when we are young in school, right? Compare our grades. I remember when I was younger, I was a very naughty student. Never studied. So, 2 months before exam, and so I don't have any notes, you know. I'm pinball king. Don't compare with me, okay? Pinball. Anybody play pinball? I am the king, right? Don't compare. Okay, anyway. So anyway, I remember from even then, I come to realize that human beings are so, you know, so protective and don't want to help. So I went to my friends. I mean, I'm an idiot, you know, right? Never study and so on. I mean, why should you worry about me, right? You can barely pass. So I said, can I borrow your nose? No. Wow, that was the first time in my life I come to realize that human beings are really so, I don't know what, I'm not even a Christian then. I said, wow, so selfish. But I need from school, right? We compare. And then later on when we work, of course, wow, which company are you working for? I know many of you who are working for great companies. Make me a bit envious, huh? But okay, sorry, shouldn't compare, right? But yeah, you know, and even within the company, it's like, wow, how come, huh? This is we call it they shine the shoe, or working on the body and so on. That's why got a promotion and so on. We always that, right? So work. Oh, of course, married, girlfriend. Wow, you know, or compare. And the thing about comparison is, that's why I said this is toxic comparison. Now, like I said, it is okay to compare. Let's say, for example, I want to become the next Olympic champion. Right? I have to find out what is the number? Who is the champion? Right? Who is the Usain Bolt? I'm going to beat him. Right? So I need to know sort of like a benchmark. Nothing wrong with that. As long as I make the comparison for me to say, okay, what action should I take? So as long as we grow, that's why the Bible says, you reap what you sow. Right? If you want to be as fantastic preacher as pastor, you sow. Don't say, God, how come I pay my tithes? I did not split my tithes. I pay fully. Right? I come to church. You know, I do all these things. How come I've been praying, God, make me preach like pastor, and still not? That's a toxic comparison. Yeah. When we compare just to feel good, that's why it's called a trap. Because if you compare just for the sake of comparing, so how I feel good about myself, the trap is you will always sin. Somewhere in the world, whatever you're comparing, six pack, I tell you, there's somebody got more pack than you. And you always got better pack than somebody. Right? So either way, either you will feel very proud. And here's the thing. Even if you say that, wow, so far I'm doing well in class. I am the top student, right? I'm doing so good. And even though you are top, but you're always so stressed, you know, when will I lose this top? Because why you're that number? On the other hand, when you are not performing as well, then you feel hopeless, I'm useless, and so on. That is a trap. God gives us a life not to be stressed like this. That's why there's disorder. You know, I just came back from Vietnam. And with parents, kids, let me say this. Please let us not put so much pressure on our kids, you know. Do you know the Bible says, train up your child so that he can go in his way, not in your way. Then say, oh, okay, right now, which job is the most paying well? Do this. That's in your way. Train up in his way so that he can go and fulfill the potential God has for him or her. Anyway, I was in this class, this automotive software. So one of the lady managers said, hey, Casey, I got a question. I'm worried about my daughter. I said, what? Because I think she's so chill. I said, what do you mean? I wanted to study more. I said, what makes you think she's studying more? Yeah, she told me the same thing. I'm good. I said, what makes you say she's not good? Because she's only the top 20. I want to go to the top 10. So you see, we're comparing that. Now, nothing wrong with this. I said the right approach is you should tell your daughter, don't say go for the top 10. Now they're competing with each other. But we should say, if you're in the top 20, what must you do to the next level? That means we should set a goal for us to grow ourselves, not against people. So I think the key for us is in life, we shouldn't aim, just say, I want to be the best. You know why that's dangerous? Because if I want to be the best, sometimes I look for the crowd where everyone is the worst, so I become the best. Yeah. And in today's world, even you're the best company, even you are the most performing company, sometimes you don't reach the top. There's up and down, economic and so on. Right? You're the best leader and so on. Sometimes you don't meet the goal. It doesn't mean you're bad. But what should it be? I think it's a good one. We should always be better. And in the process of being better, you become the best. So that when you become the best, how can I get better? And that's why children in our education system, we do all these funny things. Let's spot the question. Let's copy. Because I want to be number one. But if you want to be the best, you want to be better, no matter what it is. So you tell your daughter, it's okay. You're not top 20. But in life, our principle, we should get better. So I think we should aim for top 15. That's it. And doesn't matter, you know, whether or not you reach it next quarter. If you don't reach it, work harder. I think that is how we grow, you know. But most of them, I'm number one, I'm number two, and so on. And this causes a lot of problems for us. At work, oh, even in the church. Wow, this church, so nice environment. What the worship leader, right? And all of this. I tell you, when we compare, especially now with the social media, it's even more enhanced. You know why? Because social media is, you are comparing your normal life with people's highlight, you know, highlight. That means they take their entire month, they pick up the best. Once a year, I go for, once in 10 years, I save up all my money and I go for a holiday in Switzerland. Take the picture and say, wow, every day Switzerland. But that's the thinking, you know, it's like every day this guy is in Switzerland, right? But this guy suffered for 10 years and then saved. That's our problem. And you see, right, what it says over here? How many percent? 70, what contributes most to comparison culture? Because it becomes worse and worse. Social media is a big killer, right? And then you have, when people compare, what is the inadequacy? Jealousy, right? And worst of all, it's affecting so many. One in five people are affected. That's why I don't look at my social media, right? And on top of that, relationship is affected. So it becomes enhanced. And that's why there is a study to say that young people, when they put too much time in social media, actually they suffer a lot, right? What is it? Isolation, they feel lonely, right? Because they don't do social. Social comparison is a huge, big problem. Fear of missing out, FOMO, right? And because of this, depression. So the mental well-being is actually very affected by the comparison culture. So please, that's why we call it toxic. Comparison is not wrong, but when we compare just to feel good, to be up someone, right? Business, whatever it is. So which is why, if we compare too much, then it will lead to envy. Envy, you know, this sin is really interesting. I learned so much from just preparing this message. Because unlike other sin, is very visible. I want to ask Pastor, how many people come to you and ask, Pastor, can you pray for me? I have envy. None. So it's hidden. It's hidden. And it's one sin that does not give us any pleasure. At least I get angry. Huh. I feel so good, give you a piece of my mind. Right? Of course, all sin will cause problem later. But some of this, initially you get pleasure, you know? Gluttony, right? All this kind of thing, initially you get some pleasure and then you suffer. But envy has none. Because when I envy someone, can you see over here? The definition of envy is, I feel pain and suffering when you're successful. Yeah. Because why? Net, how come this guy work at the same time, Intel? Same number of years, I think I work harder. But you see, he got promoted. You see, I'm in pain. I'm in pain because of him. You know? And there's zero pleasure from it. So that's why it's so deadly. And which is why when we look at it, and the cause of envy is because we compare. We compare without purpose. We must compare sometimes to know where we are at. But we compare just to feel good, measure ourselves. I mean, this is the problem of our sin in our lives. And you know, envy works like this. It starts with, first of all, you compare. Can you see? Oh, hang on. You compare, three stage, right? Envy. First of all, you compare. Look at that. Wow, this person's got bigger car, bigger house, you know, a bigger salary and so on. So you compare, and then compare is fine. I say, oh, I want to be the top engineer in, you know, in my company. Nothing wrong. Who's the top engineer? Okay, I want to see what I need to do to get there. But envy comes after compare. I want what he has. Remember what I said? It's nothing wrong for you to want things. You work for it. Right? But this is the problem. I want that. God is not fair. And then I start to blame. Right? The boss is not right. The company sucks. You know, it's unfair. This and that. And many things. When we always compare the end result, this is a big problem for us. We all want the shortcut, but we don't work at it. Hey, you can have anything. Work for it. This is a fact of life. Right? And so it's good to compare and say, hey, I want to be like Vive, you know, he's so calm and so many stories. Yeah. Then I'm going to learn from him. Hey, bro, can you give me some tip? Right? Right? And worst of all, first I compare, then I like what they have. I cannot have it. I don't like him already. Resent. That's why I start to spread story. That guy, you know, always say bad things. Or, oh, of course. And then we say, oh, of course, he has got this one. Or he's doing something. That is our problem. And I tell you, in this world today, it's caused even worse in our social side. I'm sure you heard about now, you know, people complain about how come. Recently, I watched a short, Nadal, the tennis player. So he was asked this question, hey, Nadal, what do you think about the fact that women tennis players are paid less than what and so on? Okay, I know some of you are getting a bit tense now, right? But like I said, if you look at the principle of this, right? If you want to get to there, then you work towards it, right? We're only picking up the things of tennis. It happens that tennis, women get paid less than men. Why? Because this is not a social welfare institution, right? People get paid because people pay to watch the match and so on. If there's nobody watching, it's almost like, okay, let me just give you an example. Do you know in supermodeling, some of the task and the ability and the work that's done by women is so much better. They get paid more. Simple example, a supermodel, the highest paid supermodel is Giselle. Right? Oh, I know, because got ChatGPT. Yeah. The highest paid, you know how much is paid? $42 million. A year. And the highest paid, you can look, male model, is paid only $1.5 million. Same thing, social work, social psychologists, women get paid much more. Nurses, much more, because it's a natural skill. Right? So would it be right if I said, Pastor, I feel God is calling me to be a supermodel. Right? So I go and sign up for a company supermodel. How come I only get paid zero? No. Right? How come I pay zero? Giselle is $42 million, you know. Pastor, you're not praying hard enough for me. So that's envy. No, I tell you, like I said, by the way, we all should be different, you know. Right? But we want to compare and be each other. Anyway, I'm going to move along. So can you see, this is the problem. When we compare too much, this is where we have that envy. And for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder. Every evil practice. Same thing, you know, in a family, sometimes a comparison. How come you're not like that? So-and-so's husband's like this. Say the wife cooks so well. This one and so on. Wow. Disorder. Worst of all, kids. Right? Why you not like this? How come you not like that? Sibling rivalry. Partly because of dysfunction of parents who have a kind of a favoritism. All this is creating that disorder, and God doesn't want us to live a life of stress and disorder. Right? So we're going to find out what is it that we can do to kill this monster of comparison. Right? And imagine James 3:16. James is the brother of Jesus, right? And he writes this. I'm sure during a family gathering, James, can you pray? Oh, no, not you. Jesus. Because when Jesus prayed, the food become more. Yeah. Well, James, why don't you be a bit like Jesus, your brother? Right? And yet he sees that and said, hey, you know, I got to guard my heart. Right? And Romans 1:20 says, they become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy. And the envy lead to murder, strife, deceit. Cain and Abel, right? Joseph and his brothers, right? Even, you know, envy is everywhere. If you remember, when Jesus asked Peter, you know, do you love me? And so on, three times and so on. And then said that you will be doing things that you don't ask for and so on, right? And then, you know, I thought Peter would say, oh, God, I'm so thankful that you forgive me because I deny you three times. And then you ask me, so I'm so glad to be back in your kingdom. But when it says that you will die a death that you're not looking for and so on, you'll be sent to places where you don't ask for. Then he looked at John, the favorite one. Jesus, what about him? What about him? Right? Even amongst the disciples. That's why I say that we live in a world where, because of our sin, that we will tend to compare. We can't help it. But we must watch ourselves. And that's why in the case of Cain and Abel, right? Because I'm jealous, or hot-tempered or tantrum or whatever, right? And that's why you want to kill. And take note, especially in the ministry. In the ministry, again, sometimes they compare, how come I can't do this, you know, and so on. I tell you, we all need to have different ones. So when someone is good, I always love it when I come here to worship, Nat, wow, Jerome, and so on. Oh God, why can't I play drums, by the way. Yes, not as good. Yeah, I used to play drums in Bangkok, in a church. Yeah. But here's the thing. When someone is better, you know why? Because God him better to bless us. Imagine everyone is playing drum here. Poor Nat. Oh, Nat also playing drum, sorry. What kind of worship was showing? So that is why we all should appreciate the differences. And so if someone is better, you should go to Jerome and say, I really enjoy. We should enjoy the strength of other people instead of comparing. But you must find out what God wants you to do. See, that's the problem. Because we don't know what God wants us to do, we want to be everyone. Right? So first of all, find out. So you see, by the grace given to me, I said everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That means even Jerome, you're good in drums. Acknowledge that this is a gift of God. Right? Then he doesn't have to feel so. Because I'm sure he will compare human being to others who are even better. Right? Then even will be better. It's okay. God give you the amount of faith for you to be able to serve in this area, to bless this area. You will be rewarded for what you're given, not for what you don't have. So you can't go to heaven and say, oh, I wish I could play drums in a bigger congregation. So no, God will not reward you for what you're not given, but reward for what you have been given. That's why it's so important for us to focus on what we have to serve God instead of others. So that's what can I see? But, you know, so you should judge ourselves with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has given us. Right? God has called to different things. God has called some people to be leaders of nations. Some of us call us to just be a simple in a community to just minister to one or two, but that one or two can go and impact other big society. There's so many stories of these missionaries a long time ago. They go the whole family to Africa and the whole family got killed or whatever and so on, and they come back, it felt like a total loss. But only to find out generations later, because of that family, one person got saved and it transformed the entire country. That's why in the economy of God, we must understand that His will, His plan is the best, except it does not show us in our time. This is our problem. We don't have faith and trust enough in Him. And that's why we must look to the Word of God. So can you see, in one body, we have many members, and the members, you know, all have the same function, right? And we should really appreciate each other for the different, right? Some of you are really good at ushering and so on, right? Because why? You have the gift of ushering. Yeah? You know, there's a story on the Starbucks founder. Somebody asked him, hey, Howard Schultz, his name, I think, yeah. Hey, how your baristas are so good at smiling, you know. Can you please teach me how to train them to smile? Because our people not smile, right? So you know what Howard Schultz says? You got it wrong. We don't hire people and train them to smile. We find people who like to smile and then hire them. So same thing over here. If you like to play drum, make sure you have love for drum and go and learn drums. Because you like to play drums, then you become very good at it. So anyway, here is what we want to understand. When we have envy, these are the dangers. So check ourselves and see whether or not we are triggered by this. So the first thing is that it robs us of our joy. Right? Proverbs 14:30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bone. No, just think about it. Remember the parable of the workers and so on, where they've given one day's wage, right? And then later on, they find somebody later at a 9 hour and so on. So when they get to pay, remember, you were told, you know, you're the first batch, you work the whole day, I agree to pay you X amount. Okay, yeah. Wow, we thank the Lord. So wonderful. We got the job. And then after that, the owner go and find other people later in the day and then also hire them. Right? And when they got paid, they paid those who are the earliest first. The same day's wage. Remember, earlier you were so happy. Now you see, hey, they only work 3 hours. How come? Where's the joy now? Imagine you have a company party, right? Nestor and company party, and then there's a special lucky draw, right? Your name will call out. Wow, you got $200 voucher. Come back to the table. Wow, God is good, man. Praise the Lord. God is so good. You're singing. And then the next draw, $500. Now, not happy already. I tell you, our world is just rocked because of the comparison. Imagine if you had gone home right after the $200 voucher win, you are happy for the whole week. But just because you compare, that guy got 500, now he cannot sleep. Right? That's why it gets down to our bones. Secondly, it ruins relationship. Let us not be conceited, provoking and envying each other. That's why sometimes you say, huh? Why can't you be like this? You're provoking your kids. Tell your husband, wow, see? They're eating out again, wall. We are only chap fun, right? Only economy rise. Yeah, oh, they're going for this holiday, you know. Oh, I got this one. No. My wife is very good, right? She's such a great discipline in exercise. I'm a complete opposite. But I tell you, she doesn't compare with me. No, she doesn't say a word. Sometimes I feel like, okay, I got to go to the gym. And I say, yes, right now. Well, no, I really, right? So, or else, yeah, some people say, huh, honey, wow. This husband go to the gym 3 times. How can it help the relationship in the family? We're provoking kids, like I said. Please, I am so burdened with the way we talk to our kids in school and so on, because we're so focused on them getting all the results and so on. And that's why you cause them to do all this shortcut and so on and just try to copy or steal or get so much pressure. Right? I think it's good for us to grow. Yes, we set goals for them. But their goal should be their personal journey, not compare with others. And number three, it leads us to compromise if we're not careful. Wow, the businesses is getting so much business because they're doing some shady things and so on. Okay, God can understand, right? So look at this. 1 Samuel 8:19-20 says, this is when Israel started going in trouble because they compromised their relationship with God because of comparison. Look here. The people, because they're asking for the king and so on, so Samuel said, no, you know, you are a different group of people and so on. You worship God, you don't need a king, right? But it says, no, but there shall be a king over us so that we may be like all the nations that our king will lead. And that's the first start. In fact, later on in 1 Samuel 10:19, this is where the prophet Samuel says, today you have rejected your God. You see, that's how we reject God's teaching. Because we want something someone else is having. So be very careful that we might compromise. We might, you know, sort of like a lower God's standard so that we can get what other people are having. So let me close off with this. Now that we understand that envy is such a deadly sin, it's hidden, and we don't even recognize it sometimes, and it robs us of our joy, kills our relationship, and the danger for us too, compromise and sin even more. So what can we do? Three C's. The first C, as I mentioned, I think each of us must ask God, who am I? God, I'm in Penang now. These are my gifts that you've given me. This is my ability. What can I do to honor and to serve you and make disciples? And that's it. We will be rewarded for what we have been given. Remember the one talent, three talents and so on? Right? 5 talents? It all depends on what you'll be given and you work hard at it. So over here, all of us are unique. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. And God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So find out. If you don't know what God wants you to do, get involved and ask God. I mean, for a long time, I have no idea what I can do with God. But when I was in Bangkok, the pastor said, okay, Casey, come. Open your house. So open my house. Play the guitar. I play the guitar. I still remember one time. I learned guitar all through church, drums, because there's a need, right? So first few time I played, it was, I think my pastor said, what's going on, right? I keep going round and round and so on. But that's it, right? So, and then maybe today I come to realize that, yeah, I can impact people with my teaching and preaching. But we discover that along the way. In fact, the reason I was an engineer by training my entire career, 30 years project manager, But actually, April asked me when we're in the Philippines before coming back, and said, "What do you want to do in your retirement?" I said, "I'm not sure." And he says, "You always tell the young kids, and because we sometimes mentor people in church and so on." He said, "You told the kids that you chased after a dream." He said, "What's your dream?" "What was my dream?" And I said, "Oh, you like to talk to young people and you know, help them think better." And that's how I decided to say, "Okay, I want to become a lecturer." And that's why now I'm, you know, helping the church. I'm also doing a bit of training and coaching and so on in the marketplace, right? So find out, what is it, right? God will show us. And let each one of us test his own work. And that this is a reason to boast. That means if you want to boast, boast in my growth in the Lord, right? Not in his neighbor. And each of us have to bear his own load. That means we will give an account. God is not going to say, God's going to ask you, "Oh, how come, you know, you didn't do as pastor did?" No, according to what has been given to you. Number one is a calling. I like this quote over here. This is one of a lecturer from Hong Kong University. It's a comparison with yourself brings improvement. Like I said, I can compare others and myself, and I want to improve. Comparison with others will bring discontent. And I like this verse. It says that, that means in the, I think in the message, right there, that means that we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us was better or another worse. We have far more interesting things to do in our lives. Each of us is an original. It's so true, right? You need to find out your identity, your calling in Christ. Number two, contentment. What's contentment? That means not looking at what you don't have, but what you have. Remember the parable of the talents? 5, 3, 1. And the ones that, "I can't do anything because you give them more," right? So same thing for us. "I can't do this because somebody else has more." But you start where you are at, and you ask God, "God, what can I do?" I would say, focus on what you can do, not what you want. We all want things, but you can't have it unless you do. And it's the same thing the Bible says, you know, that you reap what you sow. You can't just say, "I want that," you know, right? And even sometimes suffering, you know, "Oh God, why me? How come that guy doesn't suffer as much as me?" Right? If God is bringing you to a tribulation and so on, or some kind of test. So contentment, comparison looks at what we do not have. Contentment looks at what we have. And as you use it, you know, Moses, "What have you got in your hand?" And then God will multiply it. But because we spend so much time looking at what we don't have, that's why God is not able to bless us. So some of us, if you are unhappy, you are stressed, it's because you're doing something that God is not asking you to do. Imagine if I want to be a worship like Nat, my sore throat, my throat will suffer. Not only my suffer, other people suffer. Right? So please don't torture other people. Don't do things that will torture other people and yourself. And it's true. If I say I want to be a worship leader, I don't make it, and then, you know, other people suffer, and then I start to get angry, complain, blame pastor, me, your worship director, you see, you, right? Blame the wife even. Yeah, don't. That's why I have that peace. Know who you are, be comfortable with you. So the word I want to say is that sometimes we say, "I am just." That word actually disrespect God's creation for you, no? "I am just the janitor." What do you mean, just janitor? If you work hard as a janitor, you get rewarded as much as the pastor in terms of what? Right? So God honors what we do, right? Don't say, "If only." So this one, "If only I could be like that." Comparison. "Oh, I'm just a housewife. I'm just a student. I'm just a small company employee." All of us, we have gifts that God can use. So, and it's better to enjoy what we have than to always want something else. Ecclesiastes. When we have contentment, that's great gain. That's great benefit, right? As opposed to disorder and so on. And to be content doesn't mean that you don't desire more. Doesn't mean that you want to, doesn't grow. Please don't use this toxic comparison as saying, "Pastor, I'm late again." Why are you late? Casey said, don't compare. No. Now, the thing about this is that I am saying, don't compare with others, but there are standards of God that we must follow. Being, you know, being diligent, being hardworking, read the word of God, growing and changing. Please don't use that as an excuse. No, I am the way God makes me, right? So there are things that excellence and obedience and obeying the word of God, we must, right, push ourselves. But compare our own growth, not with others, right? Not with others. That's why it doesn't mean that you cannot desire more. God says that, you know, ask for the desires of the heart. But we just have to check whether the desire of the heart is in line with God, is comparing or what God wants for you. So to be content doesn't mean that you don't desire more. It means that, God, I want to do that. I want to have that, right? But while I'm waiting for you to give me that, I'm thankful for what I have. And that's how we live a wonderful, peaceful, fulfilled, abundant life, right? So, and the third one is, wow, this one hard, right? Celebrate others' success. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Because it's such a threat for me. And I will admit it, when I first started training 10 years ago, obviously I have zero background in training. When I do all this training, I see, wow, people are so wonderful. But I learned at that time, you know, if someone is better than you, don't feel threatened, get inspired. All you have to do is just go to them. So I actually went to them and say, hey, wow, I really like and express. And that's how I learned. And that's how you don't have to get this. I don't get so threatened now, right? Zero. Because why? I can learn from them. And the word of God is so spot on, right? Rejoice with those. So if you really have that monster tangling inside you, somebody you think that you'll compare, you try it. You go to them and say, Yvonne, I am really blessed by your ability to sing. That's it, right? That will kill that monster. Right, and do nothing of self-ambition. Let me close over this. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also interest others. My friends, you know what this one is? It is God's love. When we say we love someone, we care for them. That's why love does not envy. So if somebody is doing well, even if you threaten, you go against your flesh and you go to them and say, Sam, you know, I'm really inspired by your whatever business, whatever you're saying, and so on. Let us learn to acknowledge other people's gifts, because we get blessed by their gifts. All right? So that's it. Right? What envy does to us robs our joy. Relationships lead us compromise. What can they do? What can we do? Remember your calling. Ask God for calling. Be content and learn to celebrate. Do it. Do it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word of truth, your life, word of life that brings us life. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us here, including me, Lord, when the moments when we fall into that trap of toxic comparison, Lord, remind us, help us, Lord, to get back to the center of your word, to know who we are in you, Lord, and to be thankful at all time, and to learn to rejoice with others who are successful in your kingdom. Lord, we commit all this into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.